get to the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, pre-Eitz Hadar. This whole next few sugyas are going to be going in depth and discussing the various psulim of an Esav. So the Gemara quotes from the Pasuk, pre-Eitz Hadar. Was pre-Eitz Hadar? That's the pasuk that supposedly refers to the Esog, but we don't know it refers to the Esog. It doesn't call it an Esog. So how do we know that the words pre-Eitz Hadar refer to an Esog? Mark explains that in Eitz Shetam Eitzo Upirio, what do we mean pre-Eitz Hadar? That pre-Eitz, the fruit is a tree. So we're talking about a situation where the tree, the bark, the wood itself, tastes like the actual fruit. So Shetam Eitzo Upirio Shava. So what is that? Have the Omer Zeh Esog, apparently. We have to accept the Gemara, of course, that the Esog tree, the branches, the wood, and the Esog taste the same. Mar says, well, that's not the only fruit that has that unique quality. Ve'ema pilplin. What about little peppers? Kidatanya, haya Rebbe Meir Omer. The Pasuk says when it comes to talking about Arla. Arla is when you plant a fruit tree, the first 3 years the fruit's usher. So the Pasuk says, the entire Pasuk on the side here says, Vinatatem kol eitz meichel varlartem arlasa es pirio. So the Gemara asks, Unatatem kol eitz, when you plant any tree, ein yodea shehu eitz machel. Do I not know it's referring to a fruit tree? If it's talking about arla, of course it's talking about a fruit tree. So, matam lomer eitz machel. Why does the pasuk go on to say eitz machel? That seems to be unnecessary. Of course it's talking about eitz machel, a tree that has fruit. What's the extra lashon of eitz machel? The Gemara says, eitz shetam eitzo. Where the eitz itself, the actual tree, is a meichel, that the tree itself tastes like the food.
Which page?
So, Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that Hevi Omer Zeh Pilpulin. So, the Gemara says that's referring to a pepper tree where apparently the fruits and the wood itself taste the same. Lamedcha, this comes to teach us. She Pilpulin Chayavin Ba'arla. That teaches two things. One thing is that pilpulin, pepper, while it's still moist at least, is considered a fruit, and therefore chayv in arla. Ve'ein Eretz Yisrael chaser klum, and also Eretz Yisrael doesn't miss anything. Everything you could possibly want is found in Eretz Yisrael. She'nemar lo ses lachar kobo, that everything is there. What comes out of this brayse is, however, that pilpulin also has the same unique quality as an esrog tree, that the tree, the wood, and the fruit taste the same. So why when the pasuk says pre-Eitz Hadar, that it's tam eto perio shave, that refers to an esrog, it could also be referring to pilpulin, which also has that same quality. So Gemara says, Hasam Mishum Delo Efsher, because it can't be referring to pilpulin. It doesn't make sense. It's not possible to be referring to that, because Heichin Avid, how are you going to be using it? Exactly. Ninkat Chada Lo Minkri. If you take one of the peppers, no one's going to recognize it. It's not considered a Lakicha, Rashi says. Right? Chada Lo Minkri Lakicha. It's so tiny. Mitoch Kutno, Rashi said. Mitoch Kutno, it's so small, you won't be able to recognize Lakicha. Ninkat Tre. Maybe you should take two. Oh, Tlasa, take two or three of the peppers. It makes it a little bit bigger, makes it more recognizable. The Gemara says, Echad Marachman of Loshnai Mishlosha Peros. The Pasuk says, pre-Eitz Hadar, take one Esog, not two or three. Hilchach Le'efsher, since we knock out, can't be referring to pepper, Mimele must be referring to the Esog tree. So that's the first explanation, how we know pre-Eitz Hadar refers to an Esog. Comes along, Rebbe says, I'll tell you another reason why we know pre-Eitz Hadar is referring to an Esog and not anything else. Rebbe Omer, Al tikri hadar ela hadir. What does that mean, hadir? Madir, a little area where sheep live. Yesh bo gdolim k'tanim t'mimim bali mumim. Just like in a regular deer, there is big sheep, there's small sheep, there's t'mimim, those are bali mumim, those that have mums, those that don't have mums. They're all different types, all in one deer. Hachanami yesh bo gdolim k'tanim t'mimim bali mumim. So too, you go to an esrog tree. Some are big, some are small, some are complete, some are blemished, some are not blemished. See all different types. Whereas it doesn't make much sense. Atu sharp peros lesbug dolm ktanim. To me, bali mumim, you go to an apple tree, you're going to find big ones, you're going to find small ones, you're going to find nice, pure ones, you find ones with little breaks in them. So it doesn't make any sense. Esrog isn't unique in that way. Elahachi kamar lagmar says this is what it means to say. Ad shebon ketanim adain gedolm kayamim. When the small ones begin to grow, the old ones, the bigger ones are already there. So Rashi explains, what does this mean exactly? See Rashi, Hachi Kamar Ad Shebam Ketanim. Rashi explains, Kolomar Hai Gedolim Ketanim Lav Shal Shana Achas Kamar. It's not referring to one season where some of them grow big, some of them grow small. Ella gedolim she'eshtake v'ketam shoshana zu means last year's fruit are still remaining on this year's fruit, and while the new fruit are growing, the old ones are still there. She'esek dar, right, v'gadol b'ilano shayim v'shloshana, like esek could stand this tree for 2-3 years until you actually pick it off. When it comes to an apple tree, when it gets to a certain weight, it falls during that season. And esek stays on for 2-3 years until you pick it.
Old ones.
Possibly, it doesn't make a difference. As long as it lasts the sukkahs, we're fine with that. We don't care how old it is. As long as that dried out and it looks very nice. So that's how Rebbe says, that's the source that refers to an esok, because Lashon Hadar, we should read as deer, and the deer has unique qualities, all different ages, different sizes of sheep are in a deer, so too all different sizes, ages, exist on an esok tree. Marcus for Rebbe Abohu, Amar Altiki Hadar Ella Hadar. So what does this mean? Hadar Hadar. So Rashi says, don't read Hadar, that's beautiful, but Hadar, that which lives, says the Gemara. That's what Rabbi Bo says. What do you mean Hadar, that lives? Davar Shadar Bi'ilano Mishana Lashana. So here, that's how we know Priyat Hadar refers to an Esok tree. So Rashi explains that this is not different than the opinion of Rabbi Bo. They're both in agreement that something that lives from stays on the tree for 2 or 3 years. The argument is what the drush is. How do you learn it out? They both agree. What's the reason why esrog is referring to this pre-Eitz Hadar refers to an esrog tree? Because it lives for 2 or 3 years. But one uses the drush of Hadar Hadir, and one uses the drush of Hadar versus Hadar. That's the only difference, what the limud is. But at the end of the day, they both learn the same idea, that it lives, it stays on the tree for several years. Then the Gemara quotes yet another opinion how we know pre-Eitz Hadar refers to the Esok tree. Ben Azay Omer, Al Tikri Hadar Ella Idur. What does Idur mean? So the word Hadar means Idur. Shekein Belashon Yivani, Korin Lemaim Idur. Apparently in Greek, the word Idur, Hadar meaning Idur, refers to water. Okay. Ve'ezihi Shegadol Al Kol Maim, Havi Omer Ze Esok. Which fruit is unique that grows on water? Rashi explains what does that mean. Rashi doesn't explain, actually. Which is the unique fruit that grows on water? That refers to an esrog tree. Very strange. All fruit grow on, we use water to grow on it. So the idea is that esrog could live on any types of water. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know the agriculture. But apparently esrog could use any types of water for it to grow. And that's what hadar in Greek means. Idur, and idur means refers to something unique, the unique quality that only the esrog tree has, no others.
It's another hint. Some fruits needs man-made water.
Mm-hmm.
Irrigation. Comparing to other. So it's not that it's only etrog. It's another hint that refers to etrog.
It can't be the only hint, no, but it adds to it. It makes sense. Yeah. The fact that pre-Eitz Hadar plus the fact that Hadar means either, all those come together to point in the same direction referring to the etrog. You got something to say?
Other trees, either they get rain and that's how they grow, or they have irrigation and that's how they grow. So the esrog needs both.
Both of them. Yeah, it quotes down here, the Chazon Ish said,
the esrog knows which water is what.
I don't know. Not enough rain. I need some irrigation. I need the irrigation too.
The Chazon Ish said apparently lemons need the same type of water that esrogs require. Okay. That becomes very problematic for us, of course. I'm not sure how the families work. They seem pretty similar, but lemons are certainly not good. And that's a lot of problems that with a lot of esrogim are grafted, which means to climb with lemons. So you have to figure out, you have to have the right masorah, which ones had not been grafted with lemons. Okay. Says the Gemara now. Gemara quotes for the various psulim now that the Mishnah quoted from the, mentioned from the regarding esrog, shel asherah v'shel ir nedachas pasos. We've said already in the regarding the other minim, that if the any of them came, in particular here, the esrog came from an asherah tree, or if it came from an ir nedachas, both of which have to be burnt, it's pasul. Mark says, my time, and what's the reason why such a esrog is pasul? Came into the srefa kai k'susim echtas shi'ura. Since the requirement is to burn such an asherah tree, we spoke of the asherah tree that existed when Yeshua ben Nun entered Eretz Yisrael, so that asherah tree had to be burnt. So such an esrog has to be burnt. Since it has to be burned, it's omer to be sarf, therefore we have no shear to it. So to ir nedachas, anything found in the ir nedachas has to be burnt as well, and therefore, even though right now it's not burnt, we view it as not having any shear. Now the Gemara goes on to a new discussion, which we have not yet seen by any of the other minim. The Gemara says, "Shel arla pasul." If the esog is an arla tree, which is the first 3 years of a fruit tree, you can't eat. It's called arla. Those 3 years, if you have such an esog from such a tree, it's pasul to use an esog. So Gemara asks, "What's the reason? My taima, why can't you use such an esog?" So, pligi ba Rabbi Chiya bar Abin Rabbi Yasi. Machlokas Amaraim, the reasoning why such a esog is pasul. Chad amar lefish ein ba heter achila. The chad amar lefish ein ba din mamon. So one says because there's no heter to eat it, and one says there's no mamon to it. So who says you need anything about achila? Who says anything you need about mamon? To look at Rashi, Rashi says lefish ein ba heter achila. Achman amar lachem lekachtem lachem. The pasuk says you have to take it for yourself. So lachem, it says Rashi, haroi lachem b'chol darchei hanaso. Has to be something that's roi for you to eat, and all the possible hanas you could get. So when it comes to lulav and hadas meravos, well, those things are not edible. You don't have to talk about achila in those regards. But it comes to pri'et hadar, comes to an esrog, which is a fruit. So lachem, one of the hanas you could get from fruit, of course, is eating. So since you can't eat something arla, it's not considered lachem. It's therefore possible from being used as a esrog. That's the explanation of lefi she'ein ba heter achila. The Rashi quotes, what's the explanation behind lefi she'ein ba din mamon? It has no mamon. Who says you have to have mamon when it comes to the dal minim? So Rashi says, she'eino shava pruta. It's not worth anything. The isura hanahi. It's asur b'hana. And saying asur b'hana, you can't have it. It has no value to it. Hilkach lav shalachem hum. You could only own something that has value, says Rashi. If it's asur b'hana, so I have no ownership of it. It's not called lachem. I don't own it. It's considered ka'afr ba'alma, Tosin Sota says. Ka'afr ba'alma is like dirt. It's nothing. It's meaningless. This is a big machlokas we've shown him here. Whether or not you're allowed to own something that's asr b'hana. Rashi says if something's asr b'hana, I can't own it. It's nothing. There's nothing to own. There's no value to it. The Ritva says, no, you can own something that's asr b'hana. Even though I can't use it, it's still something that it has. It's mamashes to it. It still has. It's something physical, so you can't have ownership.
For you or for anybody?
This case is us. That's a good question. They talk about, let's say I make a neder on something, that I can get hana from it. But other people can get hana. They discuss such a case, whether I could have bilis over it or not. This case where it's usher to every single person. So here Rashi says, since it's usher to everyone, there's no bilis. No one could own it. But perhaps Rashi might agree when it comes to something like usher b'hana, where I, a moder hana for me in particular, maybe then he would agree I could own it because to others it has a din mamon to it. Okay, so the Gemara continues. So these are very important things. Machlokas again, why is an esek shel arla pasul? Is it because it's not moter b'achila? Or it's because it has no mamon, has no monetary value to it? So, okay, 1 second here. Okay, fine. So Rashi, the Gemara continues rather and says, "Kasaka daitan." The havamina is man de debay heter achila lo bay din mamon. The opinion who holds that you require heter achila, that it has to be something that's edible, at least halachically edible, doesn't require the aspect of it having value din mamon. Uman debay din mamon, the one who requires it to have a monetary value, lo bay het achila, doesn't require to have to be mutter in eating. They're completely mutually exclusive. Either you only need to be mutter to be eaten, or only you need to be have some monetary value. The Gemara asks Tanan. The Mishnah told us, again, these sugyas, by the way, takes days. When I gave shiur on this, you could take weeks rather to go through these sugyas. So we're going through in one day. What, there's so much depth to each of these cases, so it is. There's a lot to talk about here, and a lot of it won't be explained fully. I'll do my best. But the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Tanan, Shel Truma Temeah. Our Mishnah said, if you have an esrog of Truma Temeah, what's Truma Temeah? Truma is when you collect all your fruit together, you're supposed to give approximately 1/50 of your fruit to the Kohanim. That's called Truma. You have 100 esrogim, you give 2 to an esrog. So let's say 1/50. There's no set shear in Truma, Minatara. But Chachamim came along and said the ideal is 1/40, 1/50, or 1/60. Those are the levels. The Beinonis, the middle ground, is 1/50. So you set aside Truma. I have 100 esrogim. 2 of them are now Truma. One of my esrogim become Tame. That's called Truma Temeah.
10%.
Meiser. Meiser goes to the Levi.
So the Levi gets more than the Kohanim.
Yeah.
And the Levi gets to the Kohanim.
And then the Levi takes Truma's Meiser, a tenth from his tenth, and gives it to the Kohanim also. But still, the Levi fares better.
So the Maase, yeah, the Levi is...
But also, they're more Levim. Right. They're less Kohanim, so Kohanim hopefully will get more. They'll get each one with 1/50, but let's say they'll get hopefully from 10 farmers, and the Levi will only get from one farmer if he's lucky, because they're less Kohanim than Levim. They're less Kohanim. Let's say they're only 100 Kohanim.
Okay.
And they're 1,000 Levim.
Okay. So if I have a field and I need to give Truma, it's 1/50. Okay, let's say I have 100 and 1/50 is 2. I left with 98.
Let's say you have 1,000. No, okay. let's say you have 1,000 farmers in the world. Okay? And 1,000 Levim.
All of them.
Each farmer gives one Levi, 1/10. But now the Kohanim, they're 100 Kohanim.
I need to give to one lady specifically. That's it.
That's another story. You know, you give anyone you want, you could give to. But usually you give to a guy you know for a while. You've been like consistent. You help one. You pick a lady to help support the lady.
Uh-huh.
Makiri Kun, it's called. In general, even Makiri Levia.
So it can be a situation that one farmer, one lady would live without any farm because, you know, he has no good connection with him.
It's possible.
The connections in this world.
Yeah, you got a network.
Right?
Yeah, be social, network, and find the right people.
Uh-huh.
Fine. Fine. Anyway, so that's Truma. Now what happens is, this Truma, this Esrog that I set aside to give to the Kohen, became Tame. Tame means I can't eat it anymore. The only thing you could do with Truma, normally you could eat it. Once it becomes Tame, you can't eat it anymore, but you can use it for firewood.
The Torah Kohen doesn't give any Maisel.
No.
It's him in the Kadosh Baruch
Hu. Right.
Yours, mine, yours.
So the Truma becomes Tame. You can't eat it anymore. But you're allowed to burn it. You're supposed to. The idea is to get hana while burning it. Throw into your fire, have a nice fire going using the chuma temea. Our Mishnah told us if you have an esrog of a chuma temea, it's possible. So let's understand what the reason is. Gemara explains, bish the malaman damar lefish ein baheter achila shapir. According to the opinion who requires the only esrog that's mutter is an esrog that is edible, halachically edible. So we understand why a chuma temea. It's not good for esrog because you cannot eat chuma temea. Elo leman damar lefi shein ba din mamon. The one who thinks no, an esrog has to have the quality of have a monetary value. So an arla, which is asur barna, has no monetary value. However, when it comes to chuma temea, it does have a monetary value. Why? Amai hare masika tachas tavshilo. You could use the chuma temea as firewood. If that's the case, it has value to it. So it should be kosher to be used as an esrog.
Is it an esrog or is it truma psula, truma tmea? Because if you get an esrog and it's pasul,
mm-hmm.
It's truma tmea. So you're not using it as an esrog, you're using it as a fire.
No, I'm saying, but maybe I could use it as an esrog. The fact that I'm able to use it for fire,
okay.
Shows me it has monetary value and it would be kosher for my esrog on Sukkot. But everyone in the Mishnah says, across the board, you're not allowed to use a chuma temea. So we see that the governing principle is not about mamon, it's about achila, because you can't eat it, and not about the monetary value that it has. So the Gemara responds, Ella, beheter achila chulei amalo pligi. Everybody agrees. The first question is, am I able to eat this esrog? That's the first question. Everybody agrees to that. So since chuma temea, you cannot eat, everybody agrees it's pasul. Since arla, you cannot eat, everybody agrees it's pasul. What are they arguing? Ki pligi, bidin mamon. They're arguing about, let's say something is mutter to be eaten, but it has no monetary value. We'll get to what the example is in a second. That's where they argue. Mar savar heter achila b'inan, din mamon lo b'inan. One opinion thinks you only need the heter achila, and the monetary value has no role. Umar savar din mamon nami b'inan. And the other opinion says you need both. You need the heter achila plus the monetary value. My benai, what's an example? What's a nafkamina between these? Where something is mutter b'achila, but has no din mamon to it, and there's, what's a nafkamina? Ika benai, ma'isir sheni b'yushalayim. What's ma'isir sheni? So ma'isir sheni is that in addition to chuma, let's go through quickly, a farmer. David's a farmer, he grows esrogim in his backyard. And after the, when season comes, he collects all of his esrogim. He has 100 esrogim. Two of them he gives to the Kohen, that's chuma. He has 98 left. He now has to give Ma'aser Rishon. He takes 10%. He takes 9.8. He gives another 10 to the Levi. That's Ma'aser Rishon. Next thing he has to do, take another 10%. Now the other 10% is either called Ma'aser Ani or Ma'aser Sheni. What? From the 88. Well, let's do 88 now. He took off 10. 88 he has left. He has to take a second Ma'aser. Now depending on the year, If it's, I think I was confused with two. I think 1, 2, 4, 5, those years of Shemitah, 1, 2, 4, 5.
Going to
Yerushalayim. Meiser Sheni.
So he's spending it in Yerushalayim.
Right, and 3 and 6 is called Meiser Ani, you give it to an Ani. So Meiser Sheni, you take the fruit, the Esrog, you take 8.8, let's call it 9, round up, 9 Esrogim, you take to eat in Yerushalayim.
Meaning you're enjoying it in Yerushalayim.
Exactly.
So you can translate it into money and make an education.
Well, you know, if you want, let's say that's too much. Let's say you have 500 esrogim. That's a lot to carry. So then you can be pulled it.
Money.
Exactly. Then you could, but if you're able to carry it, best is to bring the actual fruit to eat it in Yerushalayim. Eat the actual, for 9 fruit, you can schlep 9 esrogim to Yerushalayim to eat it there. Only if it's alive, it's too much, then you're pulled it onto money, and when you get to Yerushalayim, you buy fruit to eat there. So you bring 9 esrogim to Yerushalayim. So can you use Maaser Sheni, this esrog, that's Maaser Sheni that you bring to Yerushalayim, can you use it for your esrog on the Sukkos? What's the Shaila? You're allowed to eat it, aren't you? It's Heter Achila, so of course it should be Mutter. Gemara says, again, Ike Benayo, Maaser Sheni of Yerushalayim, Aliba de Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir. Who's Rabbi Meir? So Machlokes, Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim, who is considered the owner of Maaser Sheni? I'm looking if Rashi addresses this, or Rashi just stayed outside. Let's see. Rashi doesn't say it. Okay. Machlokes is as follows. How do we view the Maaser Sheni? Do we view it as Mamun Hedyot or Mamun Gavoa? Mamun Hedyot, do we view it as mine? The Maaser Sheni is mine. I'm a Hedyot. I'm a regular person. It's my, I'm the owner. Or do we really view Maaser Sheni as Mamun Gavoa? That's almost like Hektesh, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns it, Mamun Gavoa. We are just taking part in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mamun. Like a carbon. When we eat a carbonos, it's Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. Mishulchan Gavoa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mizbeach, we're being Zocha from the Kedusha of it, but it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. So Machlok is how to categorize Maaser Sheni. So Rabbi Meir thinks it's considered Mamun Gavoa, which means it has no din mamon. I have no ownership to it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns it, if you will. That's the thing. It's a heter achila. I'm allowed to eat it, but it has no din mamon. So that's a nafkamina. If all I require is heter achila, so I could use Maaser Sheni. If I require heter achila plus a din mamon, well, this wouldn't have a din mamon, and it would be possible to be used as an esrog on Sukkos. That's the nafkamina. Let's look at the Gemara continues and explains. Again, Ike Benayo, Maaser Sheni B'Yushalayim, Aliba de Rameir, according to Rameir, who holds mamon gavoa, Leman damar lefish ein baheter achila, according to Pinu, who says that arla's puzzle because you can, well hare yesh baheter achila, well Maaser Sheni does have a heter achila and therefore you can't eat it. Leman damar lefish ein baheter din mamon Maaser Sheni mamon gavoa. If you require also din mamon, according to our mayor, Maaser Sheni has mamon gavoa. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mamon, not our mamon, and therefore it's puzzle according to that man damar. Okay. Gemara says, Tistayim, let's conclude. The Rabbi Asi, we said above again, there are two reasons why an Arla might be possible, either because it has no Heter Achila or because ain Din Mamun. We didn't know who said which one. We said Rabbi Chia said one way, Rabbi Asi said another way. Gemara is going to conclude, let's conclude. The Rabbi Asi is the one, the Amar, the Fish ain by Din Mamun. He's the one who held that the reason why Arla is possible is because it has no Din Mamun. Why? Why are we going to conclude that way? Dama Rabbi Asi Esrog Shel Maaser Sheni Ledirei Rabbi Meir Ein Adam Yotzei Bo Yidei Chavas B'Yamtov Ledirei Chachamim Adam Yotzei Bo Yidei Chavas B'Yamtov Tisayim. Rabbi Asi says explicitly that Esrog Maaser Sheni is a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. Rabbi Meir, who holds Maaser Sheni, is Mamun Gavoa. Therefore you cannot use such an Esrog. However, according to the Chachamim, who says that Maaser Sheni is Mamun Hedyot, that a person owns it, then you can use a Maaser Sheni Esrog on Sukkot. And let's conclude, Rabbi Asi is the author.
If you're taking from Maaser Sheni, so now you're missing from Maaser Sheni. Meaning you went to Yerushalayim to Sukkot, on Sukkot.
But you didn't eat it, you just afterwards you eat it. Uh-huh. When you're done, Sukkot is over. That's the custom is, after many, when it had like other esrogim, our esrogim are not very good. But after Sukkot, people make jelly esrog. And you eat it. Gemara says now, Gufa. Gemara quotes something that was just mentioned in the previous Gemara. I'm a Rabbi Asi. Esrog shel Maaser Sheni l'divrei Rabbi Meir ein adam yotzei bo yidei chavas b'yomtov. According to Rabbi Meir, you cannot use a Maaser Sheni esrog. Well, l'divrei chachamim, however, adam yotzei bo yidei chavas b'yomtov, you can use a esrog of Maaser Sheni on Sukkos. Rabbi Asi quotes yet another machlokas about Maaser Sheni. Matzah shel Maaser Sheni. Let's say I have flour. I have wheat, and I separate Maaser Sheni from my wheat. I use that ma'aseh sheni to make flour. I make the flour, mix it with water, and bake matzah. Can I use that such a matzah of ma'aseh sheni on Pesach? So the Gemara says, this also is a machlokas. Matzah shel ma'aseh sheni l'divrei Rabbi Meir ein adam yotzei bo dechavasa bePesach. The Gemara will explain why in a moment. However, l'divrei chachamim adam yotzei bo yidei chavasa bePesach. This too is a machlokas whether or not you could use matzah of ma'aseh sheni on Pesach or not. Another machlokas. Isa shel ma'aseh sheni. Let's say I have dough. What's the lacha? Yes. Yes, what's your question?
Question is, first 2, 5, and 6, whatever the years are, to give the ma'aseh sheni. And so when you go to Yerushalayim, in the Shalosh Regalim, is one of the times, meaning first year you need to give ma'aseh sheni, you go to Yerushalayim in Shalosh Regalim, and use that ma'aseh sheni. So, you went on Sukkot with your ma'aseh sheni. What's in Pesach and Shavuot?
So I don't think. So you don't have to go on Shalosh Regalim. You can go whenever you want, and every Shalosh Regalim doesn't have to have ma'aseh sheni with it. It just becomes convenient. I'm going up anyways. Let's do my bring my ma'aseh sheni along with it, but that's not required, right?
It's a piggy. We call it piggy, right?
Piggyback.
Piggyback.
Right. You kill two birds with one stone, they say also. Now, there's a third machlokas about ma'aseh sheni. Isa shemaiseh, the very last narrow line of the Gemara. Isa shemaiseh sheni. I have dough. I put together 5 pounds of dough, according to where we paskin, that requires challah. Challah is your mafresh challah. You separate a piece of challah, and you give that challah to a kohen. Because we don't know how the kohen are, we burn the challah. So let's say I have dough that was made from ma'aseh sheni wheat. So Isa Shemaisa Sheni, again it's a machlokas. Hidivri Rabbi Meir Ptur Minachala, you're potter from Machala because he holds Mamun Gavoa. According to the Divri Chachamim, Chayavis Bechala. Chacham say you're still Chayav, even though it's Ma'aseh Sheni, you have to separate Chala. So Gemara is going, what's the reason? We understand why we have 3 machlokas in by Ma'aseh Sheni. Whether you could use an Esrog or Ma'aseh Sheni, whether or not you could eat matzah on Pesach for Ma'aseh Sheni, and whether you have to take Chala for Ma'aseh Sheni. So we understand the first case of Esog, because you require it to a question of Din Mamon. We never explained why Matzah would be Machlokas, we never explained why Challah would be. So Gemara asks, Maskif, La Rapapa. Bishma, Isa, I understand the case of Isa when it comes to taking Challah from dough, Ksiv, Rashis, Ariso, Sechem. It says Ariso, Sechem. You have to take Rashis, is referring to taking Challah from your dough. So you have to own it. So according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that Ma'aseh Sheni is Mamun Gavoa, I don't own it. According to Chacham, who say it's a Mamun Hedir, I do own it. So that's why it's a machlok, it's about a dough. Esog Nami Ksiv Lachem, when it comes to Esog also, Lachem, you have to own it, Misha Lachem. So that's also a machlok, it's whether Ma'aseh Sheni is Mamun Gavoa, Mamun Hedir. Have a Mata, Miksiv Matashem? Do we have such a pasuk that says Matashem, that you're Mata, and you have to own the Mata? We have no pasuk at all. So it seems that you should be able to use Ma'aseh Sheni Matzah, even according to Rabbi Meir, who holds Ma'aseh Sheni's Mamun Gavoa, you should be able to use Matzah from Ma'aseh Sheni. So Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel V'Yisema Rav Yemar Bar Shalmiya Asher Lechem Lechem. There's a Gezerah Shavah, it says Lechem in 2 places. Ksiv Hach, it's written here in the context of Pesach, Lechem Oni. Uksiv Hasm, it's written there in the context of Challah, V'yab Achalchem Mi Lechem Haaretz. It says Lechem in 2 places. Ma'al Lahalan Mishalachem, Lo Shel Ma'aser. Just like when it comes to challah, you have to own it and not from ma'aser. Afkan mishalachem velo mishal ma'aser. So too, when it comes to matzah, it has to come from your own and not from ma'aser sheni. Mari says, Lema Mesaila, maybe the following could be a support for that which we just said. Isa shel ma'aser sheni, yivdo, that was fashioned from ma'aser sheni. Patur min challah, divrei Reb Meir. According to Reb Meir, you're pater. V'chacham omrim nechayev es pechala. And Chacham say, you're Chayiv. Somewhere, what do you mean? Lema Mesaile? You're going to say that's a support? Hee, that's the same thing. It's just repeating what we just said before. You can't bring a support from the same exact statement. That's just repeating. Ella, midibaha pligi, banami pligi. O Dilma, shiny Isa, damar kra, arisosecham, risosecham, chesimne. So maybe you're going to say the following. Just like we find the Brisa, again, Brisa is stronger than Rav Asi. Before Rav Asi himself was an Amora, he said that Rav Meir and Chacham would argue about Challah and would argue about Matzah. But Rabbi Yossi is not as strong as a Braisa saying it. About Challah. So what's the Shaila? Are we going to say from the fact that they argue about Challah, they also argue about whether you could use Matzah of Maisa Sheni? Or do we say no? Challah, because it's Ariso Sechem, that you have to own it. But there is no such pasuk matzah schem. It's made by matzah. Even Rabbi Meir would agree you could use matzah of Maaser Sheni. Yeah.
Did they get the title because they need to earn it, or just because they live at that time? So that's
just because they live. It's not. They didn't earn that title. That's just how we refer to that time period, the people of that time period.
So it's not kind of a special smicha.
Okay, Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah that shall chuma tamei psula. If you have chuma that became tamei, it's possible to be used as an eser. Mark explains why, because delespa heter chila, like we said before, the first question you have to always ask when it comes to an eser is it something that's mutter to be eaten? Since it cannot be eaten, so therefore it's possible to be used as a chuma. But let's say the Gemara says shall chuma tahora lo yito. What about chuma tahar? I have 100 esrog in my backyard. And I take two of the 150th of my esrog and I set aside as chuma to be given to the kohen. That you cannot use. Why not? So pligi bar Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, they have a machlokas amarayim here. What the reasoning is? Chad amar b'pnei shemachshira, v'chad amar b'pnei shemafsida. One says because you're being machshir, and one says because you're being mafsid. You're losing. What does machshir mean? So look at Rashi. Rashi says shemachshira, l'kabotuma. You're going to make it huchshar to become mekabel tuma now. Rashi explains further. The Aminim b'basis in the Mishnah later on in Daf Mem Beis tells us mekabel isha miyad b'na u'miyad baila u'machseres l'mayim b'shabbos. The halacha was that the father would give it to the son would give it to the wife, and the wife would put it back in the water so it doesn't dry out on Shabbos. And shayashur shorin ha'aguda b'shabbos k'day shal yavshur, they soak it in the water so it shouldn't dry out. What happens is your hands get wet from the water, and you're going to touch the esog now, and it becomes huch shalotuma kedichsev ki yitain mayim al zera. When water gets on zera, when water gets in any fruit or any of the other seven mushrooms, any of the seven liquids, and it touches the fruit, it now makes the fruit susceptible to becoming tame. It's not tame yet, but susceptible to tumah. If it touches something tame, now it will become tame. So let's say a person who is tame mace and touches a fruit that came into contact with the water, the fruit is now tame.
And you cannot give this fruit as a tumah.
Only because it's shuma, it's a problem of becoming. Let's see in a second. Because it's shuma, let's see. Uva'aser ligrom tumah l'tumah. You cannot. This is an issur deraisa to cause shuma to become tame. If it was a chul in esrog, we're not concerned with a regular esrog that's chol. Oh, yeah. Continuing Rashi.
Oh.
Again, the pasuk says, "Va'aser ligrom tuma litruma." You cannot cause tame to truma. Dichsiv mishmeres chumas amarachman chumasai. You have to protect my truma amarachman. Va'aser la'ishimor. Let's understand this. In a regular food, I have an esrog that's chulin, not truma. So that too. Also, if I were to touch with water and touch esrog, excuse me, that's also going to be hukshir. That if something tummy touch it, now the fruit will become tuma. But I don't really care. It doesn't make a difference if it's tummy, because this fruit is chulin. Whether it's tummy or tar, it doesn't make a difference. I could eat something that's tummy. But if it's truma, you cannot cause truma to become tummy. That's an issa deraisa. If it's a regular chulin, I could cause it. I can make a tummy all I want. There's no problem. But once it's truma, there's an issa based on the pasuk of Mishmeres Chuma, so you have to protect my Chuma. You can't get it. So Rashi is a big chiddush here. Rashi says, when I'm machshir this, when I touch the esrog with water, it's not tuma yet. But Rashi says it's still a violation of Asur Ligom Tuma. But it's not tuma yet. Why is it an issur of causing tuma? Rashi thinks that the hukshir, the beginning process, already starts the process of tuma. Even though it's not yet tuma, it starts the process, and therefore it's considered the issur. Others say not. The Miri says simply no, because now there's a concern it might become tame, just a further stage away. There's no issur deraisa of causing a tumah, there's no tumah yet. So that's the reasoning why you can't use a chuma, even Torah, because you might be machshir and cause it to become tame. Look over to Rabbeinu Chananel for a second on the side, the outside of the page. Rabbeinu Chananel. He has at least some, I think all the Gemaras probably should have some bold. It says, Esrog shel chuma tamei apostle. It's around 15 lines down. Let's see.
Etrog shel trumat mea pasul.
Right. Yeah. So the fish ain't beheter achila. Shatshuma Torah lo yitol. Pliga by Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi. Chadam Rabbi Beishim machshira. Klomer mashva lamana. Huh? Why is it? Because you make it into a kli. Make it into a kli. When I machshir, when I make it wet with liquid, and any of the seven liquids, it's now susceptible to becoming tameh. But that's not, what do we mean making into a kli? This Rabbeinu Hanan is very important. We mentioned this, I think, a couple of times in Pesachim already. There's two reasons why. What's the hesber? What's the explanation of when liquid comes into contact with fruit? What's the reason why the fruit is susceptible to becoming tameh? So one opinion is the Ramban al Torah. Ramban says al Torah that just like when a piece of food gets on the ground, there's like a 5-second rule when you're younger. But if it's wet, no one would even think to eat a food off the ground. If you have a lollipop that you licked and fell into the ground, no one would ever touch it because you pick it up, there's dirt all over it. If it's dry, unlicked, it falls on the ground, you wipe it off, people are more likely to eat it. So too, if the fruit gets wet, so it's more susceptible, it could attract tumah more. Just like works physically, so too in the spiritual world, the same thing. The Sefer Chinuch says the reason why when you wash a fruit, it's now susceptible to tumah, because now the fruit is complete. Before you eat a fruit, you first wash it off. It's dirty otherwise. You have to wash it. So the washing process, even if you're going to be using milk or water, oil, it's a way of cleaning the fruit. So now the fruit is complete. Before you've washed it, it's not complete. It's not a fruit yet. So that's what Rabbeinu Hanan says. Tikkun mana, you fix the fruit. By you being machshit, you made it into a kli now, into fruit. And once it's a fruit, now only kalim, only peros, can become tameh. Before you've washed it, it's not a fruit yet. It can't become tameh. It's gemar pri. That's what Rabbeinu Hanan is consistent with the opinion of Sefer Achinuch. Okay. Back to the Gemara now. So Gemara said there are two reasons why a person shouldn't use Chuma Torah. One reason we said before is because you're machshir and you're causing Tumah, according to Rashi. And the other opinion of the Gemara says, Mipnei mafsida, because you cause it to lose. And Rashi explains it because when you hold it, you rub the outer shell at the end, after the week of using the Esser, it gets a little brown. You hold it too tight, you squeeze it, the outer shell begins to rub off, and you're being mafsid Chuma. You can't be mafsid Chuma. You can't cause Chuma to go to waste. So what's my benai? What's the nafka mean between these two opinions? Kigon shakara ala shem chutz mikli basa chitzona. What happens is, I have my 100 esrogim in my backyard, I bring it to my house, I need to take truma. I say, you know what, this esrog here, I'm going to call it truma. Everything truma except for the outer shell will not be considered truma. I could do that. So the outer shell won't be truma, but everything within that will become truma. So Gemara says now, that's the nafka mina, because leman da amar bipnei shemachshira ika. If one who thinks that when it comes into contact with the water, it will be hukshar the tumah, well, even though the outer shell is not tumah, but inside is tumah, it will still be mukshar the tumah. But the man da amar bipnei she mafsida leka. But the one who thinks it's going to cause a loss by me using it over and over again, rubbing off the outer shell, well, since the outer shell is not tumah, there's no concern of hefsed, and therefore you can use such a tumah according to such an esrog, according to that opinion.
Don't need the inside is tumah.
Exactly. If you make such a declaration that this esrog should be like that, then you could use it. Gemara says, "Vim natal ksheira." However, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah: if you do take such a Chuma Torah, it will be kosher. You will be yotze your dal and minim on sukkis.
Even without that kavana.
Even without that kavana, what do you mean? Exactly. Right. Why? Leman dam repivnesha ein b'heter achila harish b'heter achila. The one who thinks that arlo is possible because it can be mutter to eat him, well, Chuma Torah can be mutter. I can eat truma. What do you mean? Well, it's mutter to the kohen. So since someone's able to eat it, it's yote. Machlokas has shown him whether only a kohen could use a truma Torah, or even a non-kohen could use it. Since for somebody else in the world it has a heter achila, it works for me as well. But there is a heter achila. And leman damer lefish ein by din mamon hareish yesh da din mamon. And the opinion thinks that there's no din mamon. Well, there's a din mamon to it because you could eat it, and the fact that you could eat it shows that there's bilis to it. And Rashi points out also that a Kohen could use Chuma to marry an Isha. See, he Hariat Mekdesh Libet Tabazu or Hariat Mekdesh Be Esog Zu. Here's the Esog. Marry me with this Esog. A Kohen could use it, so it has monetary value to it as well. And therefore, you could use it. The reason why we say not to use it, Lechachil, is because you might cause a loss to it, because you might be Machshir to Tuma, but inherently, it is considered a kosher Esog. Then the Gemara says, Vishel Demai. The demai the Mishnah told us is mutter to be used. I think that's machlokas in the Mishnah, whether you could use it. Machlokas beisila beishamai. Right. Shel demai, what's demai? The Mai is that they sent throughout Eretz Yisrael, they found out that most farmers were not taking Meiser. Or a lot of farmers were not taking Meiser. The halacha was that if you buy fruit from a farmer, you didn't know any better, you have to take Meiser. It's called Demai, which was a suffix, whether they took Meiser. Not Vadai, we don't know. If we knew for sure that they took Meiser, then you don't have to take Meiser. If you knew for sure that they did not take Meiser, you would have to take Meiser. Let's say you just weren't sure. That's called Demai. So Demai, we advise you to take Meiser. Best practice is to take Meiser because it's a suffix. And give the Meiser. They took Truma. The farmers did take Truma because they knew if you ate Truma, you're Chai Misa. They took Truma. But there's a suffix whether they took Meiser. Because Meiser, if you eat Meiser, there's no chiyuv Misa for eating Meiser. So what's the halacha of a Shel Demai? Beis Hillel says you can use an Esog Shel Demai, and Beis Shammai says you cannot use an Esog Shel Demai. So what's the explanation? The Gemara says, my time at the Beis Hillel. Why does Beis Hillel allow you to use an Esog Shel Demai? Kevan di boyi mifkar lehu l'nichse. The person wanted he could mafkir all his nechasim. Vavi ani, and he would be an ani. V'chazilei hashanami lachem kunabe. What's the halacha? We'll see in a second. Demai, a person who's an ani can eat demai. An ani can eat demai. So a person, David, could go say, I'm being mafkir all my nechasim. And he'll become an ani. And once you make yourself an ani, you're right to have demai. So since you're able to be mafkir, even though you haven't yet done it, but you're able to be done, we view that as enough of a shaykhis to the esog of demai to be used. As the Gemara tells us, the Tanah, the Mishnah says, "Ma'achilin es aniim demai, v'esachsanim demai." You're allowed to feed the poor people demai, and you can also feed the guests demai. U'beishil beishamay rather ani lo yachil demai, and beishamay argues that an ani cannot eat demai. The Tanah, ma'ein ma'achilin es aniim demai, v'esachsanim demai. He says one cannot feed guests, one cannot feed aniim demai, and that's machlokas beishil beishamay whether aniim can have demai. Because if anim can have demai, then we say migo that since you're able to be mafkir nechasim, become an ani, and you would have and you would be able to eat demai, so too you could use such an esrog. Vama Rav Huna Tana Beishami Omrim Ein Machil Nes Aniim Vesachsanim Demai Ubeisil Omrim Machil Nes Aniim Demai Vesachsanim Demai. Same thing. They quote from a brisa that this machlok is Beishami Beisil whether or not you could feed an ani demai or not. Okay, Gemara continues now. This machlok is what exactly achsanya means, by the way. Rashi's achsanya refers to the soldiers used to stay, they'd camp out in the houses of the whatever city they were in, they would stay in those houses. That's according to Rashi. And Tosa has a different explanation. Tosa here doesn't say what it is? I thought he did.
I'll go with Rashi.
Okay, we'll go with Rashi. Okay. Referring to the soldiers who would stay at the houses of...
Achsanya.
Yeah, exactly.
And today is this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gemara says now, Shemaiser Sheni B'Yushalayim. Mishnah told us that person had a esrog of Maiser Sheni, lechalchile, he shouldn't use it, but if he were to use it, it would be a good esrog. It would be good for the Dalet Minim. What's the reason why lechalchile you should not use Maiser Sheni? So Gemara says, Lamandamar Bipnei Shemachshira, Hari Machshira, Lamandamar Bipnei Shemafsida, Hari Mafsida. Like we said above, if according to the opinion that you can't use a chuma because you're Machshir, so too by Maiser Sheni, you can't be Machshir. The opinion thinks you're going to cause a loss, a hefsid to the truma. So too, there's a concern you might cause a hefsid to the ma'aser sheni. V'imnata kash k'sheri. However, if you do take ma'aser sheni and be the eved, it's a kosher eser. Why? What?
The first case was truma.
Mm-hmm.
Truma is not allowed to eat in truma. That's for if it's machshir, so it's not good. But here ma'aser sheni. He said that you're not really with Tumah.
No, we said above we were talking about Chuma Tahora. Chuma Tahora you can eat.
What?
Chuma is Chuma Temeah and there's Chuma Tahora.
Okay.
Chuma Temeah you cannot eat. So everybody agrees you cannot use Chuma Temeah. Chuma Tahora.
How you get Chuma Tahora? Without that you're taking it, you're washing it, whatever. So it's.
Oh no, it's not Temeah yet. It's just Hochshir.
Yeah, it's
able
Hushar.
To be. But it's not Tama yet. So right now it's
still
Tara.
You're taking the risk.
Okay, but right now it's still. Even though it's wet, it's not tamei, it's tahor, and I can eat it. A kohen can eat it, at least.
I understand. But because it's wet, there's the possibility it will be tamei.
Right.
And that's why you put it aside, let's not take that risk. But here, ma'aser sheni, you cannot eat it tamei.
No. Oh, that was good. Right, yeah. Okay. Wait.
Ma'aser sheni, it's yours.
Now, maybe you could eat it, tamei, but you still can't be matamei, though. You're not allowed to be matamei, though. You can't make a tamei. Right, Rashi, look at Rashi, Hare Machshira. You see Rashi, Hare Machshira? It's around 20...
Yeah.
Umay Shesheni Bai Shimer, you have to have protection. The Kodesh Ikru, it's called Kodesh. The Chol Mai Sahara, it's a quote from a Pasuk. So it's Kodesh, just like any other Kodshim, all other Chumas require Shmira, so too Umay Shesheni requires Shmira. You have to protect it from becoming Tamer. Now the Gemara says, V'im Natal, let's say you did take the Umay Shesheni Esog, Kasher, it would be a good Kshera, it would be a good good for the Dalmin. Why? According to the one who says there's no heter achila, well, everybody agrees you can eat ma'is hasheni. You're supposed to eat ma'is hasheni, so certainly it's considered a good esug. But the one who thinks the reason why arla cannot be used is because arla has no mamon, well, hamani rabbanhi. This ma'is hasheni, we're going according to the rabbanon who holds that ma'is hasheni is considered mamon hediot. It does have mamon according to rabbanon, and therefore you may use a ma'is hasheni b'di'eved on sukkos. Let's go a few more lines. At least get to the bottom two dots. We'll go quickly. Also, chazazes. Misha told us that if some blemishes, there you go, the nice picture, a little blister develops on the esrog, that's going to be, depending how much it got into the esrog, the Misha told us, I think, right? If it gets on just a miyut, it's kosher. If it gets onto a rubal, then it's considered pasul.
So, Gemara. So this is alta chazazit al miyut. This is rubal?
No, that's miyut. That's miyut. Yeah, it's a small piece, but if it gets onto a lot of the areas, that's going to be rubal and going to be pasul. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisa, Davar Zeh, this thing, Rabbeinu Agadol, Amru, Rabbeinu Agadol said this to us, Hamakum Yeh Be'ozo, Kosh Baruch Hu should help him out, he was sick at the time. What did he tell us? Bo Shanu El B'Mokum Echad, this is only true in one place. And Al B'Shnai M'Shalosh Mekom was kosher, but if you find them dispersed in two, three different places, then it's going to be okay. Gemara says, very strange. Why would that be okay? Amar Le Rava, Adar Rav, the opposite is true. If you have two or three big blotches, that looks like a menumar, right? It's
Namer.
It's a leopard or a tiger or something that has like stripes on it. That doesn't look good. That's not a nice esog. It's worse if it's more dispersed than if it was in one spot. If you wanted to say a seifa, say it on the seifa. I'll mute the kasher. When it's only on one small spot, it's kasher. And when is that true? Amar Rav Chisda Davrezer, this thing, Rabbeinu Agadol Amru, V'amakim Yebezro, Nekash Baruch Hu should give him health. What do you tell us? Lo Shano El B'makim Echad, we only allow Miyut if it's in one place. Abal B'shnayim L'shosh Mekomis, if it's dispersed throughout, Havlek Kiminumar U'pasol, then it's going to be viewed as a Namer, and then it's going to be Pasol. And Amar Rav V'al Chotmo, V'afil B'mashu Nami Pasol, if there's the little blister on the Chotmo, which is the top part where it starts to get a little narrow, that's where when you start looking for an esrog, that's the first place you start looking, on the top near the pitom, because even a small spot could disqualify, like the Gemara tells us right here. Even a small spot, even a kol shu, will disqualify, even a mashu will disqualify the esrog from being good.
This al-chotmo?
This is what?
This al-chotmo?
Correct, exactly, right. Even a very small spot will disqualify it. Let's go a little bit further. Not lo pitmo, so you take the pitom off. Halach is tana reb Yitzchak ben Elazar, not lo buchnaso. The picture of Buchnasa there. Is Machlok is what this is referring to? Referring to the pitom, as we call it, or is it referring to the okets? Okay, but maybe we'll stop here, though. We'll pick up tomorrow. I see everyone's getting ready for davening now. So we'll pick up with Natlub Pitmasa tomorrow, and we'll discuss that.
Okay.